And hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I am so glad you joined me. Today I'm talking with USA Today bestselling author Mary Alford about writing and romantic suspense and anything else that comes to mind. So welcome to my show, Mary.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm happy to be here. This is my first time doing a podcast, so I'm excited about being part of it.
Yay! And, it was mine. You chose me.
Yes, I did. I'm excited. It looked like it was such a neat podcast, so I'm interested in it. So.
Great. Well, I'm thrilled you're with me. Now, I was reading your bio, and I had to laugh because you have two very spoiled cats.
Yes. And they came about because we had a mama cat, or just a kitten, actually, that came up to our property. And she just adopted us out of nowhere, and we kind of took her in, and she was an outside cat. Well, the next thing we know, she's having babies. We have three granddaughters, but our oldest granddaughter found out about the babies, and she was so excited about them. So she wanted to keep one. We told her we'll keep one, and she couldn't decide between two, so she actually... We have two cats and then the mama cat. But the mama cat, we've kind of lost her. So, but we still have her two babies, and they are so spoiled. They are so much fun to watch, and their personalities are so different. It's just amazing. But they are hilarious.
Are they a boy, a girl cat, or?
I have a boy and a girl, and the boy is called Chub Chub. My granddaughter named both of them, and she thought he looked like a little chubby ball of fur, so she named him Chub Chub, and the other is Crystal. So they are sweet, and they're fun to watch. We spend a lot of time watching them, and they're just entertaining.
I'm just laughing, Mary, because I before I came down to record this podcast, I threw one of our cats in with my husband. He's back in our bedroom working, and I said, "You got to keep her because she's so loud. She'll just be meowing outside my office door because she can't stand it when doors are closed in there." But we have her litter mate as well, her brother. We adopted the two kittens, and yeah, they're different as night and day. They look different. Their personalities are different. Actually have a third cat instead of a dog like you, but it just is funny. They do provide hours of enjoyment for all of us, and
they are so much fun. And the dog, he's hilarious. He goes with us to Colorado each year, and he is just so funny because he will get in the back of our car, and he will sleep almost the whole way there. If we stop or anything, or if we slow down when we go through a small town or something, he'll get up and look around, and then he'll sit back down and go back to sleep. I'm like, I wish I could do that.
I know.
That's the way to travel, you know.
I know. I was just talking to my two middle school boys this morning, and I was taking flannel sheets out of the dryer. I said, "Oh, these feel nice and warm." I said, And they're like, "Oh yeah, don't put them down. The cats will get on them." And then he's like, "I want to be a cat and to sleep like all day."
Okay. Nice
instead of doing school, I'm like, "Yeah, but that wouldn't be very exciting because you know."
Get bored with it after a while.
Because cats don't. You know, that's all they live for is sleeping and chasing each other around. Anyway, it's just kind of funny.
And, we have other interests other than that.
So. Yes. But some days I get it. You know, you just want to curl up and just sleep and forget about everything else. So,
absolutely. Especially if it's a nice cold day out and you don't want to have to get out. It's just curl up with a good book and that's it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And we always say, if you're cold, throw a cat on.
Exactly. Yes.
They're always complaining about how cold it is in our house. I'm like, just get a cat.
Yeah, there you go.
There's three. I mean, there's seven of us in the house, so there's almost enough to go around. So it works out pretty well.
They share from time to
time. Yeah, they can share. They can share. So why now, since this is a podcast about writing romantic suspense books, we should probably talk about writing, Mary. So why did you start writing romantic suspense? What was the catalyst?
Well, I guess as long as I can remember, I've always liked to read. And I don't even remember when I started reading. I just remember when I was little that I would read every book in our school library. And then I started reading Nancy Drew, of course, and the Hardy Boys, and that just kind of, that was it. I loved the mystery and the suspense of those, so that was it for me. And then from there, I graduated to Victoria Hull, Phyllis Whitney, Mary Stewart, and, oh, man, that was it. So I was probably a teen or preteen when I first decided I wanted to try my hand. It looked so easy. I started, and I wrote my first, and it was just terrible, let me just say. It's probably been destroyed by now, but it was, you know, full of cliches and sappy romance. But it lit a fire in me. Those stories lit a fire, and just writing, going through the writing process, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. Of course, you know, life has a way of getting in the way sometimes, so there was many years that fell in between before I actually continued writing. And then in 2012, I entered a contest through Love Inspired Suspense, and it was So You Think You Can Write. And it started out with just writing a query letter, and I did that, and I got chosen. And from there, it went to a synopsis, a couple of sample chapters, the full manuscript, and then I ended up selling, and I was just like, unbelievable. It was like a dream come true. And that was in 2012, so I've been writing for Love Inspired ever since, and it's amazing. I just love it, and it's just, they're a wonderful place to work for, and the editors there are very challenging. They will make sure that the book is good and perfect before it's ready to go out, and they challenge you as a writer, so that's nice. I enjoy that.
And do you write for any other line, or is it you mostly write for the Love Inspired line?
Mostly
line?
I've written a couple for Annie's Fiction has a line, and they're like you subscribe. It's a subscription series, and you subscribe to the whole series, and I wrote a couple of Amish suspense for them. I've recently contracted a book through Revell that's going to be out next year. So I've been working on that, and I'm very excited to be part of their family because I just from what little I've dealt with them, they are amazing. And the editor there that I'm working with, Rachel, is just amazing as well. So I'm very excited about that and excited to be able to work with a bigger book. It's going to be an 80,000-page book, so it's a little bit more challenging, but very fun to do. And I also have been doing a little indie publishing as well, which kind of fun. You kind of get to choose what you want to write about. You can do what you want to do, and it's fun. So those are what I've been working on lately.
Yeah, that sounds great. So I noticed that you write Amish romantic suspense. How did you get started in writing Amish? I see you live in Texas. You don't normally think of Amish communities in Texas, but
I think one community. It's in Beeville, and it's very small. I guess I when I really started out writing for Love Inspired, it was just Christian suspense. Mm-hmm. And then I started reading some Amish suspense and some of my fellow authors, like Dana Lynn. She's really good. And I started reading it, and Beverly Lewis, I love her stuff. So that got me hooked. And I'm like, okay, I want to try this. I want to try my hand at this. And it's a little bit more challenging, because when you're dealing with that, the Amish faith and with the language and their ways, their lifestyle, you want to be accurate about it, and you want to portray them right. You don't want to do anything that would be detrimental. So it's a bit more challenging. You have to learn their ways, and each community is just a little bit different. So it's been interesting. It's been a lot of research. I've enjoyed it a lot, and it's just a challenge, a little bit more of a challenge, so I enjoy that.
Yeah, it's certainly a very popular genre.
It's amazing what it is. It continues to grow, and it both just the Love Inspired, the sweet stories, and then the suspense, they just continue to grow, and it's amazing that people really just relate to that genre. And I think it's simply because it's a simpler way of life, and a lot of people like to think about it, you know, like what we could do if they actually lived like that. And it appeals to a lot of different people, I think.
Yes, yeah. But it must be challenging, you know, to write suspense set in that those communities. Do you what are some of the challenges that you find writing?
It is, because my books with Love Inspired are from the West Kootenai, Montana Amish community, and there's not a whole lot of information available online about that. I do have a couple of people that live in that particular area that I know that help me out a little bit, because, you know, like I said, each community has different rules and things, so you have to kind of at least try to get it as authentic as you can. So I do have research through friends, and I have research online, and it's just, it's challenging. It is, because you want to be, you don't want to do anything that would be, you know, portray the Amish wrong or that particular community wrong. And people that read Amish, they want to read the most authentic books they can get. So it does. It's very challenging, and you have to take a lot of time to do it. But, you know, that's fine. I enjoy the research, and I enjoy learning about new things. So it's fun.
And I think that when you write about any kind of community or area, what I keep in mind is that, I mean, people are people,
yeah.
Right? You know, and your hero and heroine are going to struggle with the same emotions maybe in an Amish community that my hero and heroine would be, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
In Fairfax, Virginia, which I like to set exactly. Mine where I live. And, you know, I mean, I think that's important to keep in mind as writers and as readers, too, that, you know, what we're really talking about is the human heart and
exactly. Yeah.
What goes on there and those emotions and, you know, desires and, you know, ultimately, since we're writing about romantic suspense, there's generally some sort of crime involved, death sometimes, most likely, and danger and things like that, which are all motivated by, you know, the things that we want in our hearts that we shouldn't want.
Absolutely. It all goes to the human nature, and you're right. It's the emotions, the love and the drama and the suspense, it's all there, and it makes for a good story, whether it's Amish or just suspense or whatever, just a good romance. It, you need all of those elements a little bit to make it a good read, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, why we can there can be so many different kind of books, because we're really talking about the setting. It's like the icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cake ingredients are generally the same. You have to have the same type of things in every cake. But you can dress it up with a bonnet.
Yes, exactly.
You can put it in the past, in the future, in the present. You know, so that's one of the things I love about talking with so many different authors for this podcast is that we may write different types of books, but they're all kind of the same. There's
they
only seven
are,
plots,
yeah.
So.
Everybody has their struggles, you know, and that reflects in the story, and that just makes the story that much more interesting.
It does, definitely. So, Arnold, how do you pick your locations? Is it just in that one community you're talking about, or do you move your locations around?
Well, for the series that I'm working for Love Inspired, they all take place in the same community, but the previous books that I've written have taken place in many different areas, because they were suspense. They were not Amish stories.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to gravitate toward mountain locations, and I think it's just because that's one of my favorite places to visit, and there's just something about being in the mountains. It lends itself to suspense, and it's a pretty setting. It can be suspenseful or dramatic, and it's just one of my favorite places to be, and one of my favorite stories is to read is set in mountains. So I tend to gravitate toward mountain settings, and that's just most of my stories are set somewhere in the mountains.
And I don't think you have many mountains in Texas, Mary.
We do not, and that's probably why. Because especially in the summertime, that's one of our places that we go. We had a cabin in Pagosa Springs for many years, and it was kind of a release from the heat here, and, you know, it's just, you see the beauty there and the tranquility, and, you know, you feel God there. It just reaches out to me, and it speaks to me, and I think that's why, because we don't have it here. It's someplace
yep.
show and just love and just enjoy it.
Yes, yeah, we love to go camping, and, you know, to us it's not camping unless it's in the mountains and it's cooler than everywhere else, so I totally understand, you know, the appeal of the mountains. Although I must admit, one of my dreams, Mary, is to, like, go on a mountain somewhere for, like, a month by myself.
I would love that. Every time I see an ad, there's a cabin in the mountains, I tell my husband, we need to be there.
Yes. That is so true. Oh, my goodness. Even when it's cold, I'm like, yeah, I'd love to be in the mountains.
I could go and sit in front of windows and look at the snow and never have to go out, but I would be fine there.
Yes, I know. But I think we vacationed in Colorado, and I'm like in a beautiful part of it. In the mountains, and I'm like, yeah, this is nice in the summer. I don't think I want to go. I don't drive well in the snow.
We went one time in the springtime, and there was snow, but I've never been in the wintertime, and one of these days, I keep threatening, I'm going to go there. We're going to go there, but not yet.
Yeah. Well, I think we are almost out of time, Mary, and so thank you so much. I think we could talk about mountains and riding more, but unfortunately, I have to wrap up. So thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You have been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammaker, and I've been talking with Mary Alford about her love of riding and spoiled cats and mountains. No, but I will hope that you will stay tuned for an excerpt from her latest book, Shielding the Amish Witness.
Now, an excerpt from Shielding the Amish Witness by Mary Alford. She'd put thousands of miles between herself and what happened, but she hadn't been able to erase the horrific memory of watching her friend die. It had played through her mind during every one of those miles, like a movie stuck on a never-ending loop. All her fault. Cheryl was dead because of her. The fear stalking her since she'd left New York showed no sign of easing as she crossed into Montana, because she knew what Vincent was capable of. He'd proved it by killing his wife in cold blood without a single hint of remorse. Faith had prayed that the terrible things she'd read in her late husband's note would turn out to be a cruel joke. But the rage on Vincent St. Clair's face when Cheryl confronted him with the evidence had annihilated that hope, and it confirmed he was the monster her husband wrote about, and so much more.
If you're reading this, then Vincent followed through with his threat and killed me. Don't let him get away with it, Faith.
She swiped the back of her hand across her tired eyes and focused on the road in front of her. She was barely hanging on, and still couldn't wrap her head around the truth. Vincent was Blake's older brother. Both were decorated police detectives. How was it possible they'd been on the take for years? Since she'd found the note Blake had taped to the bottom of his desk, Faith had existed in a state of shock. The first person she'd thought to call was Cheryl. Faith jerked the car onto the shoulder of the road and screamed into the confines of its interior, pounded her fists against the steering wheel. If she hadn't been weak, hadn't called her friend for help, Cheryl would still be alive. The horror of watching Vincent shoot his wife at point-blank range would forever be imprinted in Faith's mind. If Vincent had been ruthless enough to kill Cheryl simply because she'd seen the evidence Faith's husband had accumulated, then what would he do to Faith if he caught her? She'd grabbed the evidence and run, started the car and flown from the garage. She'd been so certain Vincent would shoot her dead right there. But God had protected her. She'd gotten away, but she'd been looking over her shoulder ever since.
I'm so sorry.
A broken sob escaped. Her heart drummed away the seconds while she glanced around at the isolation of the countryside and shivered. Sitting still was dangerous. 38 hours ago, she'd barely escaped with her life. But it wouldn't end there. Vincent knew she had evidence that would put him away for a long time. He'd follow her to the ends of the earth to silence her. Faith eased the car back onto the road and punched the gas. Staying alive meant quickly getting the car out of sight. Vincent was aware of the type of vehicle she drove. He'd find a way to locate her. Every second she was out in the open, her life was in jeopardy. Her gaze landed on the cell phone in the cup holder, and a terrible truth dawned. As a detective, Vincent would know how to track her phone. He could be following her now. Faith grabbed the phone and powered it down, praying it wasn't too late. She topped a hill. The snow flurries that had begun almost from the moment she crossed the state line continued to strengthen. An early spring storm was approaching. Her fingers dug into the steering wheel as she drove through the deteriorating weather. More than anything, Faith hated bringing this nightmare to her sweet Amish grandmother. If there had been any other option, she would have chosen it instead. A set of headlights struck the rearview mirror, momentarily blinding her. Faith whipped around in her seat. She hadn't seen a soul in hours. The wide-open territory surrounding the Amish community of West Kootenai was sparsely populated. There were few travelers, especially after dark, especially in this weather. Her stomach plummeted. Was it Vincent?
"You'll never get away from me."
Vincent's parting words had felt more like an omen. Tension bunched her shoulder blades while she strained to see more details on the vehicle beyond the headlights. As far as she knew, her husband and Cheryl were the only ones who had knowledge of her Amish past in Montana. After she moved to New York, every time she mentioned once being Amish, she'd get asked dozens of questions about why she left. In the end, it was just easier to keep that part of her life secret. Had either Cheryl or Blake mentioned her past to Vincent? Please, God, no. She picked up her speed while keeping close watch in the mirror. The vehicle topped the ridge behind her, its pace normal for the conditions. She blew out a shaky breath. Nerves shot. It was probably someone who had gotten trapped in the storm like her. Her grip relaxed on the wheel. She'd been jumping at shadows since leaving New York. The car's headlights picked up the sign nailed to a tree by the side of the road announcing the different shops found in the West Kootenai community. Almost home. Just a little bit farther. A wealth of childhood memories rushed through Faith's mind. For more than 20 years, she longed to come back. With no other choice available, she believed God's hand had guided her throughout every mile of this frightening journey. The Silver Creek Bridge appeared through the swirl of snow in her headlights. So many of her early childhood memories were tied to this creek. Her grandfather had taught her how to fish here. They'd searched for gold along the banks of the stream. A smile played across her face at the way her kostati could make anything seem like an adventure to a young child. Tires squealed close, and the sweet memories evaporated while goosebumps flew up her arms. A massive truck was a few feet off her bumper. She'd been wrong. This wasn't an innocent traveler. Her worst fear screamed out of her nightmares and into reality. Vincent had found her. Staying alive was going to take all her skills. He flipped his lights on bright to intimidate. Faith buried the accelerator and pushed the car to its limits. Her tires spun on the slick road. Even though it was springtime in other parts of the world, here in Big Sky Country, winter still had the community in its grip. Silver Creek Bridge quickly came up. She had to cross it before he trapped her there. Her tires connected with the first wooden slat on the bridge. From far too close on her bumper, Vincent revved his engine. Before there was time to have a clear thought, the truck plowed into her full force. Her car lurched forward. Faith's head flung toward the wheel, then snapped backward. She grabbed the door for support when another blow sent the full weight of her body slamming against her wrist. She screamed as pain shot up her arm. Keeping the car on the road with one working hand was difficult, but she wanted to live. Her grandmother's home was past the bridge down the first gravel road on the right, but she didn't dare lead Vincent there. The next turnoff was several miles beyond. She'd never make it that far. If she drove the car cross-country under these conditions, would she survive? Through the swatch of visibility the headlights created, much of the countryside appeared still covered in snow, and the storm was increasing. Faith fought hard to right the car and keep it from slamming into the guardrail. She punched the gas and tried to put distance between herself and the vehicle that was inches off her bumper once more. The truck hit her again. Her car spun sideways. Faith screamed and did her best to control the car, but Vincent didn't let up. He planted the truck's bumper against the side of her door and shoved. She watched in horror as the truck's tires coughed up smoke as he tried to force her off the bridge. Faith yanked the wheel hard to the left in a futile attempt to pull free of the massive truck, but it was useless. Her car's engine was no match. She stomped the brake pedal with both feet, but the car continued to inch closer to the guardrail. The passenger side struck the railing. Metal grinding against metal sounded horrific as the car crumpled on impact. Vincent didn't let up. The guardrail bent under the pressure of the powerful truck. Faith fought a losing battle. Trapped inside the car, there was nothing she could do to prevent it. She was going into Silver Creek.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.